Alright mates, welcome back to Beyond the Label. I'm Ruby and I'm here with Eric, who is, as always, looking far too calm for a Monday morning. Today, we're diving into workplace rights for disabled folks in the UK. Eric, you ready to get legal on us?
Absolutely, Ruby. And I promise not to sound like a walking law textbook. Well, not too much. So the big one here is the Equality Act 2010. It basically pulls together all the old anti-discrimination laws and says, look, if you're disabled, you're protected at every stage of employment. That's from applying for a job, to interviews, to promotions, right through to, unfortunately, being let go.
Yeah, and it's not just about not being mean, right? Employers have to actually do stuff, like they're legally on the hook to make what they call reasonable adjustments, which, I don't know, always sounds a bit vague to me. What's reasonable anyway? Is it like, oh, we'll get you a comfier chair? Or can you ask for, I don't know, a 4-day work week and a puppy?
I think the puppy might be pushing it, but you're right, it's a bit of a grey area. Reasonable adjustments can be things like flexible hours, adapted equipment, or even changing certain workplace policies. The key is, it's about removing barriers that put disabled employees at a disadvantage. And employers have to actually think ahead, not just wait for someone to ask.
So if you're listening and you're thinking, I don't want to be a bother, nah, you're not a bother. You're literally protected by law. But Eric, what if your boss is like, sorry, can't do it, too hard, too expensive? What then?
That's where the reasonable bit comes in. Employers can say no if it's genuinely not feasible, like if it would bankrupt the company. But they have to prove that. And honestly, most adjustments aren't that costly. I actually helped a friend with this a while back. He needed some software to help with his dyslexia. The company dragged their feet. But once he mentioned the Equality Act, suddenly things moved a lot faster. Sometimes, just knowing your rights gives you a bit of leverage.
Love that. And if you're not sure what to ask for, there's loads of advice out there. But like, don't be afraid to speak up. You're not asking for a golden throne, unless you are, in which case, send us a photo. All right. So what about getting the job in the first place? That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Exactly. Recruitment is a big one. Employers can't just ask you about your health or disability unless it's to make sure you can do the job, or to see if you need adjustments for the interview. And there's this thing called the Disability Confidence Scheme. Basically, it's a badge for employers who are actually trying to be inclusive. It's not perfect, but it's a start.
Yeah, and if you see that logo, it's meant to mean they're not going to freak out if you ask for, like, a ramp or a screen reader. But let's be real, not every company is there yet. That's where the government steps in with all these support programs. There's the Intensive Personalized Employment Support. Bit of a mouthful, that one. It's for folks who need a bit more help getting into work. And it can last, what, nearly 2 years?
Up to 21 months, yes. And then there's the Work and Health Program, which is more about job coaching and helping people overcome barriers. Plus, apprenticeships. Those are a great way to get experience and qualifications. And employers are supposed to make them accessible too.
Oh, speaking of apprenticeships, I heard this cracking story the other week. Young bloke, wheelchair user, wanted to get into IT. The company actually changed their whole office layout so he could get around, and he smashed it. Ended up getting hired full time. So it does happen. But you gotta have employers who are willing to go the extra mile, not just tick a box.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's about knowing these schemes exist. If you're listening and you're job hunting, check out what support you can get. There's more out there than you might think, but it's not always shouted from the rooftops.
Yeah, and if you're an employer, don't just wait for someone to ask. Be proactive. It's not just good karma, it's the law. All right, so we've got all these schemes, but the numbers still aren't great, are they?
No, they're really not. The employment rate for disabled people in the UK is about 45%. For non-disabled people, it's 77%. That's a huge gap, and it's barely budged in years. So clearly, legal protections and support schemes aren't enough on their own.
Yeah, and there's all this talk lately about changing the rules, like making disability benefit assessment stricter or putting more money into employment support. I was in a newsroom debate about this and it got heated. Some folks reckon tougher rules will just push people who can't work into more stress, while others say we need to get more people into jobs, full stop. I don't know, Eric. What do you reckon?
It's complicated. On one hand, supporting people into work is important. But if the system gets too harsh, it risks hurting the very people it's meant to help. There's a real risk of unintended consequences. I think any changes need to be made with a lot of care and with input from disabled people themselves, not just policymakers.
Yeah, totally. And like, if you're listening and you've got a story about this, good, bad, ugly, send it in. We want to hear what's actually happening on the ground, not just what the politicians reckon. All right, Eric, I think we've covered a lot of ground. Any last words before we wrap up?
Just that knowing your rights is the first step, but pushing for real change takes all of us. And Ruby, as always, thanks for keeping me on my toes.
Anytime, mate. All right, that's it for this episode of Beyond the Label. We'll be back soon with more stories and hopefully a few more laughs. Take care, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone. And Ruby, see you next time.
See ya, Eric.